Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic View Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and all major podcast providers. So if you can't catch the show live, you can download it or simply use our free podcast player, which is available on our website at www.theorganicview.com. If you'd like to connect with us, please post a question on our wall on Facebook or send me a tweet at June Stoyer on Twitter. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@theorganicview.com. Today's show is sponsored by MyMumble.com, one of the leading voice chat service providers with locations all over the world. MyMumble offers free 5-seat voice chat service for life, as well as higher capacity plans for any group that requires a secure environment for confidential communication. Listeners of The Organic View can receive 15% off on monthly recurring power servers by using the coupon code ORGVIEW. For more promotional offers, please visit our website at www.theorganicview.com. On today's show, the folks from lionaid.org are going to discuss new import regulations in the EU, which is a huge effort in the fight to protect our big cats as well as other species. So I'd like to welcome to the show Dr. Peter Catt and Christine McSween. Good afternoon, folks.
Hi.
Hiya.
Now, before we begin, Christine, could you take a moment and please share with our listeners what lionaid.org does and also what makes your organization so different from so many other NGOs that are out there?
Well, we are, compared to the other organizations that are out there, we're much smaller, and that makes us more nimble, I guess. We looked at all the wonderful work that all the other organizations have done over the years to save lions in particular, because that's our focus, our primary focus, and how whatever they were doing and however wonderful it was not arresting the catastrophic decline in lion populations. So we just knew that we had to come up with something different, and we've really fallen into the work that we're doing because we realized almost by default that the way to go was to deal with a political solution, because if we could get the UK and the European Parliament and the African lion range states talking to each other and talking to us and discussing ways of conserving their big cats and in particular their lions, then we were more likely to get a solution that was going to be lasting, that was going to arrest the decline in lions.
Thank you. Peter, could you take a moment and explain why the big cat population is in jeopardy?
Well, there's lots of different reasons that are given. And, you know, if you read about the decline in the big cats in Africa, and by that I mean species like leopards and cheetahs and lions and but let's focus on those three, the leopards, the cheetahs, and the lions. The reason why there's been such a huge decline in those species, people usually say, is, well, because they're losing a lot of their habitat. You know, the African human population is exploding, and more of what used to be wild land is now becoming farmland or pasture land. So they're losing their habitats. They're also losing their prey because, as you might know, in Africa, there's a huge amount of what is called the bush meat trade. In other words, that's meat from a whole variety of wild species. And so because the lions and the leopards and the cheetahs also eat those kinds of animals, what's happening is that they're finding less and less to hunt. And then what they're doing is they're turning to the domestic livestock. So, you know, there's lots of problems in Africa with lions eating livestock, leopards eating livestock, cheetahs eating livestock, and as a result of which they get killed by retaliation killing. And then finally, and this is something that we can actually do something about, I mean, we cannot prevent habitat loss that much. We cannot prevent human-wildlife conflict with those large predators. We're trying, but that'll take some time. But one thing that we can probably take out of the equation fastest and with immediate effect in some countries is the losses due to trophy hunting. Now, don't underestimate the effect that trophy hunting has on these animals. For example, in the past years, 5 years between 2008 and 2012, something like 5,250 leopard trophies were exported from Africa, 1,222 skins, and 1,436 skulls. So, you know, if once you start looking at those kinds of numbers, you realize how the effects that trophy hunting is having on these animals. And remember that nobody really knows how many leopards there are in Africa. There are some wild guesses, but people who go to Africa on, let's say, a photographic safari find themselves very fortunate when they actually see a leopard. And when I say that 5,250 trophies were exported from Africa over the past 5 years of leopards, that means adult males. And adult males are only sort of, you know, 10-15% of the population, because you've got female leopards, you've got immature leopards, you've got leopard cubs. So that is targeting a very specific part of the population and a small percentage of the population to come up with all those trophies. So you can imagine the impact that it's having on those animals.
Peter, isn't it true that the poachers are hired by different terrorist groups who are also involved with human trafficking as well as the sex trade?
Well, I think what we're discovering these days is that the illegal wildlife trade, especially in things like rhino horns, which have led to the tremendous slaughter of rhinos in South Africa, and then the elephant ivory, which has led to about 30,000 elephants being killed per year in Africa, is becoming more and more organized. And what's happening is that you have to remember a little bit about the history of Africa, in that Africa has always had criminal cartels being involved in various aspects of illegal trade of this or that or the other thing. For example, not many people realize that Kenya, for example, is a major transit point for heroin that is being smuggled out of Afghanistan. So, you know, there's a criminal network that's already in place there. And once the those criminal networks decided that there was money to be made from rhino horn and elephant ivory, then, you know, they seamlessly went into that, because they had their distribution networks, they had their people involved, they could reach out and get people in the local communities to help them with the poaching of these animals by giving them, you know, the equivalent of a year's wage for one rhino, for example. So it wasn't, it was something that was very easy to do for the criminal cartels already established in Africa.
So in essence, these poachers are really being paid a lower wage, whereas the sale of the different parts of the animal are fetching quite a price. So wouldn't it be true to say that the more animals are killed, the more expensive, I guess, the inventory that these people have seems to go up in value?
Well, that's exactly right. And there's, you know, there's a big value. It sounds strange, but there's a big value in rarity. In other words, the more rare an animal becomes, the more you have to pay to use its products. And those products can be, for example, a trophy by a trophy hunter. Remember that you know, there was this guy in down in Texas at the Dallas Safari Club who made a bid of $350,000 to go out and hunt a highly endangered black rhino in Namibia. So, you know, when you're talking those kinds of sums for a particular animal, you can see why poachers are getting very, very interested in the products that those animals provide. But I think what also needs to be realized is that the value of these products only goes up if there is any kind of trade allowed in those products. In other words, if trade in ivory is not allowed, and if trade in rhino horn is not allowed, then what happens is that those products become valueless. Right now, what's happening is that everybody says, well, you know, trade in illegal trade in ivory is well, it's illegal. and trade in rhino horn is illegal, and consumption of illegal ivory is illegal, but nobody's really cutting down on it. You know, in Vietnam and in China, you can go out into the streets, and friends of ours have done this, and go out in the streets, and you can very easily access, and it's, well, it's out in the open. You can buy rhino horn, and you can buy carved ivory at absolutely no problem whatsoever. So what we need to do with those kinds of products is to basically shut down the legal trade, which is happening in ivory, and just say that any piece of ivory that you find in a shop comes from a dead elephant, so therefore it is illegal to sell ivory. That's the only way through, in my mind.
Peter, can you explain what the new regulations will mean and how this will impact the lion population?
Well, what we have to realize is that there is something called the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species, and there's something like 180 member states that have signed up to this convention, and they're all bound by the various parts of that convention. And so what this convention is for is basically to try and regulate the trade in endangered species. However, there are lots and lots of loopholes in this convention. And also what happens is that this is the international convention, but also individual countries, and in the case of the European Union, a bloc of countries, can also make their own rules. For example, in the United States, it is illegal to import any kind of products from polar bears or cheetahs. You know, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife have said these go on the Endangered Species Act of the United States, so you cannot import polar bear parts and you cannot import cheetah parts. So no trophies, no skins, no nothing like that. So, but CITES says that it's fine to import those things. So what the United States did is they said, we're going to have much stricter regulations on particular species. And this is now what has happened also in the European Union. And it's very interesting, the species that they selected. The European Union has now said that what we need is import permits for any part, including hunting trophies, including ivory, including, you know, parts like rhino horns, for two species, elephants and rhinos. Now, that's not surprising because there's a lot of illegal trade in the ivory and in the rhino horn going on right here in Europe. So what they tried to do with those species and say, unless you have an import permit that we issue, you can't bring in any of those parts. But what they also decided to do is to include in that list, and that's what we're very happy about, lions, but also, again, polar bears, hippos, which might sound strange, and Argali sheep. Argali sheep live up in the highlands of Uzbekistan and sort of Central Asia, and they're a highly endangered species, but because they have beautiful horns, they're heavily trophy hunted. So what that means now, and you know, people say, well, big deal. So the EU says that that you now need an import permit. But the good thing about that is that the European Union can now say, which they couldn't before, that they will stop any imports from any country that they are not satisfied is actually utilizing their wildlife populations in a sustainable manner to justify the exports. For example, Western African lions, there's only about 400, maybe 350 of those lions left. Now, they're genetically distinct from other lions. They're much more genetically like the lions that are left in India. So Western African lions, first of all, genetically distinct, highly unusual animals, and there's only about 350, 400 of them left. However, CITES has said that it's fine to hunt them and it's fine to import their parts. But now the European Union has said, no, we're actually going to stop all the imports of Western African lions. So the European Union will not allow any more hunting trophies to come in from countries like Benin, Burkina Faso, and Cameroon. So an immediate stop was put to imports from all those three countries. And I think that will have a long-lasting impact on the conservation and hopefully the recovery of lion populations in Western Africa. So the European Union can go country by country, and they can say, no, we're not going to import any more, let's say, elephants or from Tanzania or from Zimbabwe, or not, we're not going to allow any more trophies to be brought in from South African rhinos that are trophy hunted. And we're not going to allow any more products from hippos to be brought into the United States or into the European Union. Now, that might sound strange because hippos, you know, I'll give you some numbers. Huge, huge, huge numbers. 4,713 skins in 5 years. 1,722 skulls. 5,716 skulls. I could go on. But hippos are also very heavily involved in the ivory trade. Hippo ivory is legally traded all over the place, and there's absolutely no stop on it. So what the European Union has said now is, we are going to take control over trade in species that we think, the European Union thinks, need extra protection.
I think what's really important here about this legislation, we clearly pushed very hard with the European Union to include lions in this list, because that's our primary focus, is lion conservation. And we discovered 3 years ago, through our discussions with the European Union, that prior to February the 5th, when this legislation came into force, you could have a ban on products from an animal, and we did have a ban on products from lion products from South Africa for a short while. It's no longer in place. And that's when we discovered that trophies, which is 90% of lion products, were excluded. And the reason they were excluded is that there was an old loophole which still exists in CITES, and until February the 5th, it existed in the EU, which said that a trophy was not considered trade, it was considered a household and personal effect. Now, this legislation has removed that loophole. It was a glaring loophole, and it was a very important loophole, and it was a loophole that trophy hunters for the species listed we're using to great effect. So this is a major, major, major step forward. So what that now means is that, as Peter said, the European Union will go country by country to decide whether or not they will ban the importation of trophies of those six species. And what we have to do, we now know that Western Africa, as Peter said, Benin, Burkina Faso and Cameroon, they have already decided that their opinion of those countries is negative, which means there is a ban on lion trophies. We now have to go country by country, and we have to turn what is currently a positive opinion from other nations into a negative opinion. How do we do that? We provide the scientific evidence to show country by country that the continued trophy hunting of lions in those countries is detrimental to their conservation. That should not be a difficult thing for us to do, because the evidence is all there. So this is a hugely important ruling that took place on the 5th of February, and we were very pleased to play our part within that for lion conservation.
And indeed, the work that you and Peter do is tremendous. And you are also doing this with a very, very limited budget. Christine, could you just take a moment and talk about some of the ways that our listeners can get involved with LionAid and support the efforts of you and Dr. Peter Katt?
We're doing this, I wouldn't call it a limited budget. I would call it with no budget, June, unfortunately. The problem is that the way the world works is that the large charities have established themselves over years. There's nothing wrong with that. But they have good resources. They have staff. They pay salaries. They have marketing departments. And most importantly, they have a brand image. And in terms of wildlife conservation, and I'm sure it's the same in other sectors, but certainly within wildlife conservation, the funding both from individual private donors and from corporations and from governments invariably goes to those large organizations with a brand name. So it means that if you are like we are, a small, very nimble organization that are coming up with some very, very good ideas, and are achieving results, very tangible results, like the results we achieved this last week in the European Union, it means that we do not get the funding. And time after time, our requests for funding from large organisations and grant bodies and governments is turned down. And why is it turned down? Because they say, you're too small, you haven't had an award of this magnitude before, therefore you're a high risk, we can't give it to you again. You can never get in. So what can people do? They have to start to believe in us. They have to start to look at the evidence of what we've achieved. Have a look at the project that we're starting in Kenya. All I say we're starting, that we're wanting to start in Kenya, but it's not going to happen if we don't get funding. So we have to break this challenge. We have to break this catch-22 situation, this dilemma that we're in, that we don't get funding because we're small. And because we're small, we can't do the work. We are doing the work. We're demonstrably doing the work. So please, people, have faith in us. We have got a wonderful actress in the UK who is one of our patrons called Diane Keane. Bless her heart, she's going to climb Mount Kilimanjaro on the 9th of July for us. Please go and look at her Just Giving page and put your donation in there. Every pound, every dollar, every euro is going to make a difference. Please just do it. It's the cost, not even the cost of one drink. We've got Ricky Gervais, who is, as everybody knows, he's a very well-known comedian and presenter. He has a big heart for wildlife and animal welfare, and he supports a lot of charities in that sector, and he has supported us, and we're very, very grateful to him and his partner. He has done an amazingly wonderful oil painting for us of a lion's face, and he's allowed us to take 50 limited edition prints from that painting, all of which are for sale on our website, and he has individually signed each one. Please, please, everybody, support what we're doing. Put a donation in, buy a painting, sponsor Diane climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, or just straightforwardly, just send us, you know, your simple donation, but please help.
Thank you, Christine. And folks, I can't say it any better than Christine has just said what she said about how difficult it is for small but highly effective organizations like Lion Aid to continue to do the work that they do. Unfortunately, it doesn't matter what the area of concentration is, most people will generally support a very well-known NGO / nonprofit organization, however you want to call them, as opposed to supporting an organization like Lion Aid because of the branding that's involved. Yeah. And the truth of the matter is the folks at Lion Aid have been extremely effective in helping the plight of the lions as well as other wildlife. And without the support from the public, they're not going to be able to continue. And as an activist myself, I have been working with Lion Aid for many years. I will continue to support their effort because I believe in what they do. I make a very distinctive choice as far as who I do support because also my resources are limited, but I feel that the organizations such as Lion Aid that I do support are really the cream of the crop. They're the ones who are out there. They're not based upon ego. They're doing this because they firmly believe in what is necessary that needs to be done in order to bring about the changes that are needed. So on that note, Chris and Peter, thank you so much for coming on the show. And I really hope you come back. You've been my guest on the show for many years now. And I'm always pleased to see how much you've impacted the world with all of your effort and tireless initiatives, which just are just amazing. The two of you have done so much for Big Cats, and I hope that as new people are tuning into the show as well as learning about you, they'll really understand better as far as what is going on instead of a lot of things that have been circulated. Recently, there's been some talk about the need for culling of wildlife, which is rubbish. So please, by all means, continue the good work, and I look forward to having you coming back.
Well, bless you, June. I just say as a rider that the next event we have in our calendar is we're back in Brussels with the European Parliament on the 17th of March. Now we're going to be specifically focused on Cannes Lions trophies coming into the EU. As a result of this ruling last week on the 5th of February, it now gives us a very solid base to start exploring ways that we can try and persuade the European Union not to allow these trophies from South Africa to come into the EU. And that will need to be done on welfare grounds because it's such a vile, cruel industry. And we're back in Brussels on the 17th of March to discuss that with both policymakers and with MEPs. At this point in time, we don't even have the wherewithal to cover our travel costs to get there. That's how bad it is for us. Our future is very threatened by the lack of funding. So thank you for your kind words, June. We really would appreciate support from all your listeners if they feel that lions and the other species that we've talked about, if you feel that Lion Aid can help. Thank you very much.
Always great to be on your show, June, and thank you for having us. And, you know, let's come back when we have more progress to report to you.
You are always welcome. And folks, please check out the companion article that will be posted on theorganicview.com, which will provide all the information as far as how you can not only read the progress that lionaid.org is making, but also support them with the prints that Ricky Gervais and his partner Jane have so nicely donated to them, as well as other ways that you can support their initiatives. Because at the end of the day, if we don't have our big cats, they're a keystone species. And it would really be a shame. We have an opportunity to do something now, and we didn't take action when we could. This has been June Stoyer with the Organic View Radio Show. Have a great afternoon, everyone.